Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Welcome to the Geek Legacy Podcast, where we talk about everything in the realm of entertainment news, so long as it falls under the geeky umbrella. This is episode, 352? I'm Justin Cavett. I looked at my watch. I don't even know why I did that. Like, my watch has this secret information. Anyway, I'm Justin Cavett. With me, as always, Mr. Randy Van Dyke. How are you doing today?
I'm great, but all I've got is this Dick Tracy face on my watch, and it doesn't do anything.
I know. When I got my Apple Watch, I was so excited to have a Dick Tracy little watch. It's pretty great. And I can talk to it and do texts and stuff. And
I ordered a Dick Tracy watch, but all it is his fucking face.
Do you use the walkie-talkie, Justin, so you can actually be a Dick Tracy watch?
I don't, because I don't know anybody else that wants to talk to me.
Yeah, I'll talk to Justin.
Okay, we can do that.
We can be walkie-talkie buddies.
I have the app on here right now, and I can do that. And my watch has the phone line attached to it too, in case I forget my phone at home.
Oh, nice!
Yeah,
convenient.
I know. Anyway, David, how are you doing?
I'm unbelievable. I am excited that we are fortunate enough to live in a place that's semi-returning back to normalcy. I was at a concert in the park today with a trillion other people. Been able to. Enjoy actually having people over and talking to people and hanging out with people and being social again. It's quite a lot of fun, and I understand that everyone is fortunate enough to be in an area where that is possible, but I hope that you guys can get there ASAP, because it is incredible to be able to hang out with your buddies in person instead of just over StreamYard.
Right.
Because we'll see you. I'll see both of you guys in just like 3 days, and I can't wait. I dug out all of my cool D&D stuff, and I am excited.
Yeah, Sunday.
Yeah, sabado. How are you, Justin?
I'm good. I have a bunch of shit to give Randy, actually, so make sure your car is empty, because you're going to get loaded up. I have all these Back to the Future toys that I've had for like a year that are yours.
I'm going to clear out all the junk from my trunk.
Okay, ooh. I like the sound of that. But yeah, I'm good. I ordered a 2-pound bag of Runtz, and it arrived today, and I was very excited about that.
How much of that is left currently?
Just a lot. I poured a little bit into a cup, and then I had it by my desk, and I was just kind of scooping it out. But yeah, I didn't want to reach my dirty hands into a bag. So mm-hmm. I'm that way with chips, too. I don't really eat chips from the bag. I pour them into some kind of container. Receptacle. Yeah, and eat them that way.
If you will.
Yeah, it's easier to manage your portions that way, because like we get like the big old mega giant Costco size bags, and if I'm just eating out of the bag, man, it's like gone in like a day, and I'm like, fuck, I'm fat.
Yeah, I know.
So we have like small bowls I put them in, and so it forces me to not be a pig.
There's these ones at Costco. It's like a Himalayan salt chip or something like that. I know it's like a sea salt or Himalayan sea salt chip. I don't know what it is, but either way, it's good, and it's always like 2 bags for like $5 or something, so I always just buy 2, and I can't even eat that many, but I can't just buy one like an asshole, and then the clerk will be like, you didn't get 2 of these. I'm like, oh, well, do you want to run over there and get it? Probably not, so how about you just, let's just keep moving.
Yeah. They have the 3 cheddar popcorn-opolis mix bag. It's this giant, enormous bag with this amazing popcorn. I'm not really even a big cheddar popcorn kind of guy, but this is pretty good. It went quick in my house.
At Christmas time, did you guys get those containers that had like a divider of 3 different types of popcorn inside it? It would be like a regular, a cheese one, and maybe a caramel or something.
Caramel would always go first, and then cheese, and then the regular would get stale and get tossed out.
That's so funny. I would go cheese, then regular, and then give the caramel to my dad.
Yeah. Anytime we go to Chicago for work or something like that, I always have to go to Garrett's, because they have like, that they're famous for their popcorn and stuff like that. They make a really good cheese popcorn. I always get that.
I remember when we went that last, whatever that was, March last year. Yeah. There's a guy that I take the train with that's from Chicago, and he was like, I don't even know his name, but I know he works at Cal State Fullerton, and he was telling me that their popcorn is amazing. So I got it at the airport, because I was like, shit, I'm gonna see this guy tomorrow. So I got to get him some of his Chicago popcorn. And then he wasn't even there the next day. I was so sad.
And then COVID hit.
Yeah, I'm walking around with this guy's popcorn, and I'm like so excited to give it to him. And then he's like not even at the train station. Aww. I was sad. I hope he's okay.
But, that was very kind of you, though. You're way too nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I didn't know
all this popcorn now
to get yourself right. Got yourself a bag too.
I think I just got him one. I mean, I ended up eating his because he wasn't around, but I carried it. Yeah, I was so excited to give it to him. I mean, even if he didn't eat it, because he's like, you know, I'm not going to take popcorn from a stranger kind of thing. But
on a train?
Yeah, strangers on a train, totally. But I was excited to just let him know that I was thinking about him. Like, hey, man, here you go. Check this out.
Yeah, well, a lot of people like they like the Chicago mix where it's like cheddar and caramel, but I like my flavors individual. I don't like to mix them up, but
are you that way with food on your plate too?
For the most part, the only exception is like potatoes. Like if I have like mashed potatoes or like some form of like not non-baked potatoes, I like to mix that. Like we had pot roast today, so we had pot roast and potatoes, and I like to kind of mix it all up into like one concoction. But other than that, yeah, I like to keep my food separate.
Gotcha.
I'm all about mixing it together into a big goulash and then just shoveling it.
It's easier that way, right?
It all ends up in the same fucking place anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have no problem with it. It's more an OCD thing. Like, let me eat all my carrots and then let me eat all my this and all my that. And then.
But let me tell you. So I do that with like my dinner food on a plate, right? But when I get fucking Skittles, goddamn if I don't separate them by color and they have to be all equal. Like if there's 12 oranges and only like 5 green, I have to eat all the oranges until there's only 5 of every color, you know?
Yeah.
I eat them one at a time.
What I do is OCD. I sort of my colors and then I eat the least color to the most color.
Oh, wow. See, I do it from the opposite to the least. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like the lady and the tramp dogs.
Yeah.
I don't even know what flavors taste like. So like anytime even if I'm eating like a Starburst and each one tastes unique, right? I won't even know. I just tear them open and eat them and I have no memory of what they taste like. So I'm like, do I like the yellow ones? Do I like green ones? I don't remember. And then I eat them like, oh my God, this is gross. And then 2 minutes later, I'm like, oh man, what flavor was that? I don't even know what that one was. It was awful.
No, yeah, I love Serena. And I have to, my number is 4. You know, so I don't want to have anyone try to OCD me. So everything has to be in like 4s. And so like, if I get to the end and there's like a non multiple of 4, a lot of times I'll see if my kids want them. Well, he just want a couple Skittles. Like, if I got like funny. 9 red and like 6 yellows and stuff like that, I'll kind of put them aside. Like, he goes.
That's funny.
And when I eat peanut M&Ms, I have to like crack it and then I eat the left side of my mouth, I ate the chocolate, and the right side of the mouth, I ate the peanut.
That's crazy.
And then I'll switch off every other one because I'm an even odd kind of guy. And I got problems, Justin.
You do. I'm like a hamster. I just shove them all in my mouth and I got big old cheeks on both sides. I have no idea what colors are in there. I just know that I will work it all the way down my throat hole at some point. I do that with Skittles.
Don't worry about it, Justin. I managed to get quite a few. I managed to get quite a few in my mouth. I'm doing okay for myself.
Man, so like I know that when I eat a Kit Kat, it drives you crazy because I just keep it all together and just take a big bite out of it, and I don't break them up into little
you're like, fucking
individual pieces.
like I would like to think that both you and Randy are perfect people that I would never want to change anything in. But if I had a Loki power to enchant you and do something, I would fucking change that.
Okay,
like I would make you a better person. Am I wrong, Randy? Like he'll take a bite out of the side of a Kit Kat bar, like all of them put together.
I mean that is pretty weird. That offends my OCD. Yeah,
I want to.
It's like a little pan flute. I just go for it. It's great.
No, you're a monster.
No, a monster is all of them watching each other die as you break them off.
Well, yeah, because it's like I'm gonna finish this one, and I want you all to see what's coming next.
Yeah. I don't like that.
You are the monsters. You're the monsters that like Hans Christian Andersen would write about.
Oh, okay. I'll take it. I'm okay with that.
Children would find you in the forest and then run away.
Yes. Yeah.
I can assure you we would both be running in opposite directions. I would freak out if I saw children in the forest. I'd be like, Blair Witch! I'm out of here. Fuck off. Yeah, I hate the forest. Ugh, never, not going to do it. I'm not a fan of the forest. No, and that's coming from someone that lived in the Pacific Northwest. Yeah.
Dark so good.
Yeah, not a fan. But you did mention Loki a few minutes ago. And we are now 3 episodes in. We're at the halfway point, right? It's 6 episodes?
That is correct.
Yeah, and this one was actually kind of short. So we did not have an episode last week. Apologize for that. But
my fault.
That's okay. I wasn't going to say nothing.
But everyone knew.
Probably. But last week's episode was interesting because the big reveal at the end was that this Loki is a lady. And I don't think I knew that. So I was surprised. And then skipping, he runs through the portal after her and he ends right back up at the TVA. And then they teleport to the super mega apocalypse where like planets are crashing into each other or moons crashing into a planet. I forget what it is, but it's a major, an extinction level event for all you sudden impact or deep impact. Is it deep impact? Probably deep impact fans. Sudden impact might be a Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah, or a Van Damme.
Yeah, or Van Damme. That's what it is.
Van Damme's all one of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then they get on a train. It's kind of like a little party, I guess. I don't know, end of the world kind of party train.
And there's then, karaoke and everything.
Yeah. We get to learn a little bit about each other, and you know, Loki likes to swing both ways. You know, he just goes wherever the party is. There was a fun little conversation about being in love and interests and such, and it ended a bit of a cliffhanger. But I think when it was all said and done, I was happy with it. Again, this week's episode was kind of short. It was like I think 42 minutes with credits, so that didn't take all that long. And it was fun. I like the talking back and forth. I'm a fan of the back and forth. And I think most of us agree that Loki is one of the best villains ever to come out of the MCU. So I am okay with hearing his side a little bit more as opposed to just wacky hijinks and such.
He's David, such a scamp.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked the second episode, you know, and it was once they wouldn't show us Loki's face, even after Mobius told us that they were hunting a Loki. I'm like, so what? Something's up with this Loki. Something's different. And you know, obviously we got the reveal in episode 2. I think episode two was great. I think episode 3 was probably my least favorite of the 3, but it was still great. I think that they eked a lot of production quality out of you know, a show that's mostly about this mischievous scamp talking. I thought that, is it like Lividus 2 or whatever? I thought that looked incredible. I thought the whole effect of like the moon breaking up and crashing into them was really, really good. I like the constant changing of the MacGuffin, like just to move them along this area and then everything just kind of fall into shit. I think that Loki having an adversary in basically himself is a lot of fun. I like that they were all trying to out-Loki each other. Like, you know, she tried to kick in the door in that one hut and got thrown away. And he pretended to be like her ex-husband or dead husband or something like that.
Yeah.
And she's like, was that Guile or I forget what else it was. But he's like, I don't want to hear it. But yeah, I think it's a lot of fun. I was sad we didn't get any Owen Wilson in this episode. We didn't get any Mobius. There was a lot of cool Easter eggs once the timeline started to diverge. You know, we saw a lot of the places that we've seen in the MCU. So it'll be curious to see, you know, what these forks do. I'm assuming this is all leading to, you know, Spider-Man and, of course, Doctor Strange 2, the Multiverse of Madness. I'm curious to see if we're going to get any Kang the Conqueror. You know, he in the comics at one point, he is one of the timekeepers. So, yeah, there's just a lot going on, a lot to unpack. I think once these 6 episodes are over, I think it will definitely be worth an almost immediate rewatch just to kind of see, you know, I think all of the answers are out there right now for us to see, but we're just not seeing it because there's so much to unpack. And right. I love things like that to where you go back later and you'd be like, man, they told us episode 1 was going to happen. It was right there. So I really loved it. You know, the Loki show is, is definitely my favorite of the MCU Disney Plus shows thus far. Of course, there's 3 episodes to, you know, it could always shit the bed, but I'm pretty confident in the direction it's going.
All right. Lamentous One, I think, is the name of the planet.
Oh, okay. Sounds about right. That sounds right. I know it started with an L and had a number at the end.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Randy, you weren't too keen on the first episode when last we spoke. Have you changed your mind a little bit? Are you coming around, or are you still bored out of your mind?
I think the second episode was, I found a little bit better, and then the third episode just went right back into the toilet. The dialogue between Loki and Lady Loki were, it just felt like it was written by children. It was just, I was not into it at all. But I don't want to go too much into it because I'm sure people don't want to hear me trash talking this show that everybody seems to be in love with. So I'm going to do what David just said, and after the whole thing wraps its 6 show run, I'm going to rewatch it all in sequence again and see if it hits me different. But as of right now, it's homework. It's a chore to get through. Mm-hmm. But it's just something you got to do.
That's fair. You know, it's interesting because I saw some folks on Twitter say that this was their favorite episode, and both of you think it's, you know, your least favorite.
I think it was definitely the most MCU of what we've seen. You know, it was kind of like a plotted A to B to C to D, kind of like almost like fetch quest, you know, with, you know, big explosions and stuff like that. So I'm not surprised that a lot of people have their best. And when I say it was my least favorite, I mean, I absolutely love all 3 episodes. So it's not a slight. It's just like Justin said, I'm more a fan of, you know, you have Loki as a character to just be like outsmarting people and, you know, talky, to where I think more people, and it's totally valid, you know, they're more about like running and shooting and explosions. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not here to yuck their yum.
Yeah. I yucked yum once.
Oh, yeah. So you have to like get a shot of penicillin to fix it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's dicey.
Yeah. They got a fix for that. It like gets rid of your gag reflex.
So, Randy, you're getting zero enjoyment out of the show.
I mean, I guess I'm getting a very mild level.
Like you're not.
I feel it move, gone. But I mean, it's not going any or anything.
Gotcha. You're not the least bit curious in what the TVA is and how they're going to unravel it and stuff like that, or.
I'm a little curious, but again, it's just a step to get to the next level, you know, to get to see, you know, how we're setting up Doctor Strange 2.
What do you think's missing from the show that you like that you think could make it more Randy speed?
I don't know, joy. Just missing any element of joy for me.
You don't get any joy from Mr. Owen Wilson?
I do, and he wasn't in this last episode. That's why I liked episode 2 better. Episode 1, I know, featured a lot of them. But again, this is one of those things, and I'm kind of playing it up for you guys that just to kind of like get you riled up, because I don't really I don't care enough to really feel that passionately one way or the other about this show, positive or negative. I just it doesn't get any emotion out of me, so. But that's why I'm thinking, like, once it is a whole, once all 6 episodes are done and I can sit there and watch it beginning to end, if I can manage to do that without any distractions, I'm sure I'll enjoy it. But I don't know if it's going to end up being my favorite Marvel TV series, but I'll give it a second chance then. Right now, I just like kind of busting your guys' balls.
Do you guys want to talk about the weird spoilers that kind of happened where... it was revealed that some folks in the TVA have been around for a long time.
And that they were once people. They were variants?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. So the girl that she was interrogating, she had to go through a couple hundred years to find her happy place. And then this whole idea that it isn't the Timekeepers that created them and that they had lives prior to this job that they report to every single day. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and they don't really know. They don't know that. You know, they don't know that they had. Well, at least they're not letting us on that they knew that they had previous lives.
Right. I'm curious if anybody does in the TVA, and if, or if this is like a, it's kind of like a Matrix-y kind of thing, right? Where you just kind of, you have a job and you're not even living the life that you thought that you had. You know, you're just a battery of sorts.
Right. It's pretty, pretty crazy. I'm assuming the TVA are leading the grand timeline. They're manipulating the timeline to get to whatever ends that they're looking for, whether that's world domination or something hopefully less boring than that. And that's why they keep pruning the branches to make sure that there's the one sacred timeline. And that now that it's all kind of, now that hopefully it's all going to get kind of blown up, you know, hopefully the timekeepers will have to come out and, you know, show themselves and, you know, do battle. And hopefully this will be our introduction to King the Conqueror.
There you go. All right. Well, I'm on board. I mean, we're halfway through. So and we still haven't had an after credits scene, correct?
Right. And we didn't get one in Falcon and the Soldier Club episode 5, I believe. That's when,
yeah, I was near the end there.
Yeah, that's when he was making his bootleg shield. And for me, Captain America and the Winter Soldier, or Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I think that one started hot and kind of fizzled out. So I'm hoping that Loki doesn't do the same thing, to where Wanda was kind of the opposite. You know, I was kind of indifferent. I was kind of more Randy level Loki excitement for WandaVision at the beginning. And then by the end, I was entertained. I don't think I'll ever go back and watch WandaVision again. But I feel like I got my entertainment out of it by the end. To where this one, I'm hoping that it's going to be the best of both worlds. Good from soup to nuts.
Yeah. Now, do you think that because one is a TV series and one is a movie, that you're judging them differently? I mean, like, because normally with a Marvel movie, it's 2 hours of eating popcorn, drinking your drink, laughing and celebrating and cheering. And this is completely different. Is it fair to judge them the way that we have been? Or do you think we're being fair? Or do you think we're being too harsh? Or do you think that we're being too easy on these shows?
I don't think we're being fair. I mean, I'm comparing it to the other shows. You know, it has definite advantages over feature films. You know, its length alone allows it to explore things that a film couldn't. You know, there's a lot. If this Loki series were a 2-hour and 25-minute movie, you know, we would lose a lot. So I don't think it would necessarily be fair to compare like this to like Thor Ragnarok or something like that. But, you know, I think that comparing it, you know, against the lens of which, you know, it's being broadcast with, you know, the other MCU television shows, I think that's fair.
I'm curious if once Loki is over, if you think it would have been a better 2-hour movie as opposed to a 3+ hour series.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah,
it very well could be. I mean, we could get. I mean, I think that Falcon and the Winter Soldier had a lot of bloat, and they probably. I don't know if they could have pulled it off in a film, but there are definitely some like the Flag Smashers. Like I know they were an integral part of the plot, but like I still don't think I fully understand what the hell they are and what their purpose is, and I think they're very weak on the villain scale. To where Falcon and the Winter Soldier maybe could have been, you know, either a film or, you know, maybe the seeds of it would start in, you know, a team-up movie, and then they would get, like, their own film to, like, you know, fix it out. WandaVision, you know, that's... I don't know if anyone's going to want to go to the movies to watch a grief drama. You know, that's a hard sell, you know, because at the end of it, it's just, you know, Wanda Maximoff feeling terrible that the guy she loved is dead, and her brother's dead, and her parents are dead, and everyone's dead. So... we'll have to wait and see on Loki.
Mm-hmm. I think... go ahead, Randy.
I was just going to say, I suspect that I probably would enjoy it more as a movie. That way I can kind of get in, get out, get to the point quickly. I don't necessarily need all the pipe that's getting laid.
Right. I think in a movie format, you know, they would have more played up like the antagonistic villain of the, you know, female Loki or she Loki or whatever we're calling her. And I think we would have lost, you know, the interplay between the two of them. I think we would have, there would have just been a lot cut. But you know, that doesn't mean it's bad. You know, maybe sometimes things get cut for a reason. Sometimes a lot of times you watch those deleted scenes on DVDs, or, you know, Disney Plus or something like that. You're like, oh yeah, I see what that was cut.
Right. So, I mean, you brought up an interesting point about the villain in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Like, Carly Morgenthau, we didn't really know what to make of her other than we didn't really care what her problem was. Like, she was just bad and she had been wrong, but we never really got a taste of why she was wronged or what happened for a while. And so she'd already killed a bunch of people before we're supposed to be sympathetic. And I feel like it would have been kind of cool if we got to see her be just a normal person for a while and it go back and forth between like her planning this job of murdering all these people, but we don't really know what it is. It might be more like we're under the impression it's more of like liberating, or she's going to be getting like medical supplies or goods or food or something to where we're kind of rooting for her to do the job. But then we see that she's actually hurting innocent people, and it's more like a MacGuffin, as it were, and she's the bad guy. Like, we spend 20 minutes thinking she's going to be the hero, and then we find out she's actually the bad guy. I think that would have been pretty cool. It would have taken screen time away from Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but I think it would have been more of a moral quandary of who we are rooting for, per se.
Right. Yeah, no, I think, I mean, ultimately, Carly's goal with the Flag Smashers was to stop that vote, and Falcon / Captain America was able to stop the vote exactly how he said he was going to do it. You know, he had a conversation with Carly, and he said, "You're doing this the wrong way. This is how we do it." She said, "That's stupid. That's not going to work. I'm going to keep doing it my way." And then at the end, you know, Captain America was right. You know, he had a plan. Yeah, exactly. He had a plan. He executed it, and you know, the goals of the Flag Smashers were taken into account. They were victorious through Captain America.
Right.
But again, I think they're completely forgettable, you know, throwaway villains.
Yeah, I'm with you there, man. Like, I barely even remember Falcon the Winter Soldier.
But I mean, they could have cut out pretty much everything with Falcon's sister, you know, and her. I mean, it didn't serve a large. All of the emotional beats we got from him being with his sister and dealing with like the money issues and the foreclosures and stuff, we also got with Isaiah, you know. And I think that, you know, if in this scenario where we're creating a 2.5-hour Falcon the Winter Soldier film, I think that's an easy cut.
Yeah. Fair enough. Moving on, Star Wars The Bad Batch. We're 2 episodes behind, but 2 weeks ago we had, what's his name, Wrecker? He had his little chip, and then he went bad, and then he got his chip taken out, and we got to see Rex again, and it was okay. I was excited to see Rex, and I'm glad that the chip is off the table now for the Bad Batch, minus Crosshair. So we don't have to really worry about it anymore. Now it's just, where are these guys going to end up? Are they going to make it all the way to the end? And I'm excited about that. So I was worried that at the second to last episode, all of a sudden the chip's going to start working and it's going to be a problem. So I'm glad that that's off the table. And then last week we had a fun game of cat and mouse where Crosshair is chasing after the Bad Batch, and it got pretty dire. And then before it could end, our buddy Cad Bane shows up and takes Omega, and Rambo gets shot in the chest. Hunter, is that his name? I always forget his name. Hunter.
Yeah, it's Hunter.
Yeah. And left for dead. But he's fine. He got better. But now we're going to have some sort of, I would imagine, some sort of heist to get Omega back. And I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully they can pull their resources and get some people together and do a smash and grab sort of job and get Omega back. I think that's
slightly more complicated than that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Get in the goddamn house.
Do you guys know who hired Cad Bane?
I was just under the impression it was the fish people.
The Kaminoans, yeah.
Kaminoans, yeah.
Yeah. Lamassu and the Kaminoans. But this is interesting too, because I don't know if you guys watched any, like, when the Clone Wars ended initially, there was plans for all these incomplete episodes, and they released animatics and storyboards and partially animated versions of it. Do you remember that there was an episode with a shootout, like a Western style, like meet at high noon in the middle of the dusty town kind of thing, shootout between Cad Bane and Boba Fett?
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar? Do you remember how that ended?
It ended poorly for Mr. Bane.
Yeah, he got hit in the he got shot in the head, and so did Boba Fett, which is what put the characteristic dent in his helmet, was from getting shot in the head by Cad Bane. But that was still in the Clone War era. So being that Mr. Cad Bane is still around now, we know that he survived.
Right. And he's still quick on the draw.
Right. Which is exactly kind of the same scenario that we had here with him and Hunter, but Hunter had the short end of that stick.
Yeah. I don't think he had a stick.
You don't mess with those Duros, man. They don't fuck around.
Yeah. And Cad Bane, I think, was mentioned in Rebels, but he never made an appearance. So that also kind of added fuel to the fire that maybe that was canon that that Boba Fett killed him. But now we know for a fact that it is not. So he is fair game to appear in any other Star Wars media that takes place after the Bad Batch.
Which we were just talking about, I think, on our last show. That we wanted Cad Bane to show up, a live-action Cad Bane.
Oh, hell yeah, yeah.
Wasn't the Cad Bane Boba Fett, wasn't that during the Rebels time?
I want to say that was one of the incomplete episodes of Clone Wars.
But Cad Bane was in Rebels, I thought. Wasn't Cad Bane in Rebels?
I looked him up, and I couldn't find him in the Rebels wiki. And there was a reference to it because Sabine may have crossed paths with him because there was graffiti of Cad Bane like on something that she had painted up in the first season. But I couldn't find, I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe I was looking in the wrong spot, but I couldn't find any evidence of him in Rebels.
Yeah, I'm probably wrong. But yeah, no, that's cool. I always dug the origin of the dented helmet.
Yeah, it's always fun when something comes around full circle or whatever. When in actual, he probably just dropped it on the set and it had a big fucking dent. And like, God damn it, just go with it.
But coming around full circle would be, imagine in the Book of Boba Fett, we see like a live action shootout between the two of them. Yeah. And obviously it wouldn't explain the dent in the helmet, but, you know, we could maybe finally get to see the demise of one Cad Bane. Who knows?
What is Ming-Na's character name again?
Fennec Shand.
What if Bubba and Cad Bane were going to do like the High Noon duel thing, and then she just shoots him with that?
Yeah, we want the Book of Boba Fett to be like Arrow Season 1, where he's got that ledger, and he's just got, it's an actual book. He's just crossing people off.
I think that would be cool. To just where it's like, fuck off, man. I'm like, I can't beat this guy. Just shoot his ass.
Yeah, I want it to be a cross between Arrow Season 1 and My Name is Earl. You know, the best two series that have a book full of names. Right?
Exactly.
Well, now I want that too. My name is Fett.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's this episode of My Name is Earl where the bandit's going to be at the fair. And his brother just keeps going, fair, 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 because he's so excited to see the car from Smokey and the Bandit. It's so stupid.
We just rewatched the entire series of My Name is Earl.
Oh, yeah? Do you remember that episode?
I do. Luke wanted to watch, he saw a commercial for it, and he's like, hey, let's watch this. And he blitzed through in like 8 days, it seemed like.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, we kept catching it.
What service is it streaming on?
Hulu.
Oh, nice.
I don't think it hit 100 episodes. Yeah, it's 96. I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, Randy, he was just like, fair, 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 fair.
Yeah. Oh, man, have you seen him lately, how jacked he is?
You wouldn't even recognize him.
Yeah, he's like enormously, like, ripped. Like, lost all the weight, super, like, just in shape and, like, just chiseled. Like, bodybuilder. Huh. Like a Schwarzenegger.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
He maximized his pump.
I bet he can see the sailboat now.
Exactly. I mean,
there's a deep cut for you.
Yeah. Man, he was big in freaking Remember the Titans. He's like probably like 500 pounds in that movie.
Yikes. I'm about a deuce and a half.
He's two of you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what movie I saw him in recently where it was some college movie where he played some dude's roommate and he kept like bringing girls home and he was like all goth with blue hair and like black makeup and shit. Does that ring any bells to you guys?
I mean, no.
I would have to look it up.
I mean, it does, I know it sounds familiar. He's American History X.
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
He doesn't have blue hair, though.
He's a super Nazi.
Shit, I'm trying to remember the movie you're talking about, Randy. I remember the movie where you're talking about the look, but I don't remember what movie it is.
I'm totally cheating, and I'm going to look it up on IMDb.
Hey, you do you. There's no shame in that. You do that while Justin looks at naked pictures of him to see how chiseled he is.
Yeah. And,
you know, that old chestnut.
Now we're talking. Yeah. Cold Mountain. That was probably it.
What's cold? The Wolf.
No. That is not the movie I was thinking of. No.
That's not that cowboy pioneer mountain movie.
Right, with Renee Zellweger. I'm like, I don't think that's it.
That's funny. Sorry. I joke. Anyway, so Bad Batch. I'm coming around. I was bored the last couple weeks, but this was the episode that I needed to steer me back on course. So I'm excited for where it's going.
You do love Cad Bane.
I do.
And
I like it when they're in trouble. I like it when there's just a seriousness to it, I suppose. Right. I mean, I did enjoy the episode. Yeah, I did enjoy the episode with the Rancor, but that was like a fun episode and it had a lot going for it. But if they just stop by like upon a planet and there's some farmer needs help with his crop or something, then I'm not really in that. But if they're in the immediate danger, then I find it a lot more interesting.
Okay, so breaking news, I found it. It was the butterfly effect.
Oh shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a good film.
No, it's not good.
No, it's very bad. It's got a crazy alternate ending too. I don't remember what it was. But the theatrical cut, doesn't he go back in time and like stop his conception, or he stops himself in the womb or something?
Yeah, something about not being born anymore.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's too bad. Well, because I think everyone, all the people around him, their lives would be better if he didn't exist or something. Sort of a reverse.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Yeah.
They keep showing them clips like, well, eventually something happy will happen. Yeah. Can't be all bad. Nope, all bad.
Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life. It's funny because you know we've been talking about Star Trek and how everything just gets wrapped up so quick, and It's a Wonderful Life is kind of long, but the last like 20 minutes is sort of fixing everything, like him going through like the spirits guiding him through the town, and then he wakes up and then he gets all the money back and everyone loves him. But I mean, it happens quick. And you're like, oh shit, it's over. It's funny.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown.
Exactly. Anyway. So I understand it's summertime. It's hot. It's like 100 degrees outside all the time now, and it's driving me insane. So
not over here. Just where you are. You got to come live over here.
I'm on the other side of the mountain. I'm on Cold Mountain with Renee Zellweger.
Sounds like you're on Hot Mountain.
Well, this side of the mountain is
like Volcano, Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, I like that movie. And Anne Heche,
not to be confused with Dante's Peak, the other Volcano movie that came out that summer.
Yeah, it has your buddy Linda Hamilton in it.
Yeah. And the best James Bond, Pierce Brosnan.
Hell yeah,
that's right.
I'm just kidding. We all know Roger Moore is the best James Bond.
Oh yeah, he's great. he's old.
He is, in fact, an old. And, because of his age, it seems a lot more creepy when he's doing things.
Banging broads. Yeah. It's sugardaddy.com. So it starts. But in the spirit of all this heat, that means that it is summertime, and we get all sorts of fun blockbuster motion picture shows. And, David, I understand you have a list of what to expect this summer in the cinema.
Absolutely, yeah. It's as we begin to return to normalcy, and theaters let up some of their restrictions as far as social distancing and masks, and as we are vaccinated and we feel more comfortable meeting in groups, summer is upon us, and the summer movie season traditionally has been starting in April the last couple of years. You know, Fast and the Furious, Hunger Games, things like that were coming out earlier and earlier and earlier. But COVID didn't really start letting up until May. So I'll just quickly go through some of the movies that came out in May. If anything stands out, we can talk about it, and then we'll get to the films that are upcoming, and we can have a more lively discussion. So kind of the first one out of the gate was May 7th with Wrath of Man. That was the Guy Ritchie film with Jason Statham, Josh Hartnett, and Jeffrey Donovan. Then, of course, the next week we had Spiral from the Book of Saw with Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson in a revival of the Saw franchise. I bet you did not see that coming. then we had Army of the Dead, which we talked about on the podcast a couple weeks ago. That's, of course, Zack Snyder's film with Batista. The following week on the 28th, we had Cruella and the Quiet Place 2, which we also talked about on the show. And then now we're kind of getting into June, which is the month we are currently in. So June 4th was the most recent Conjuring movie, The Devil Made Me Do It. I know Justin is a fan of all things horror, and I am a sissy girl. So Justin, did you you haven't seen The Conjuring, have you?
Not yet, and it's on HBO Max until like July 3rd. It's on my to-do list. I actually talked about it on Don't Be Crazy. But I've seen the first two, but I haven't seen the three Annabelle movies or the Nun movie. But I was going to take a dip into The Conjuring 3 just to get it over with, because this is that franchise, that horror franchise that is taking over. Like, much like how Saw was all through like the 2000s, I think The Conjuring is dominated like the aught tens. We've got, what is that, three Conjuring movies plus three Doll movies plus the Nun movie. Yeah, so we got like seven movies in one franchise inside of 7 years, which is a pretty big deal. So it's basically a movie every year.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff to get through. But it's actually pretty good. So recently, my wife just watched all of them, like from in chronological order, not from when they were released, but in terms of when the movies take place, which is basically mostly through the 60s, 70s, and early 80s or something like that. And I watched most of it. And for a person who's not like super into horror movies, I was really digging what I was seeing.
Mm-hmm. Is there like a narrative through line?
There are characters. Yes, there are character through lines too. You know, there's a couple of the Warrens that basically are involved in pretty much everything, from the Nun to the Annabelle doll to all the Conjuring stuff. And they have like this basement filled with trinkets and artifacts from all their previous adventures and things that they've done in terms of like exorcisms or ghosts, demons, whatever that they've dealt with, and they keep it all locked up. And I think in the newest movie, shit happens when somebody goes wandering down into that basement and starts waking shit up.
Well, all right. This, of course, was the franchise that brought us James Wan.
Made
Aquaman.
He did.
Aquaman.
He was supposed to make T-Man, but then he didn't.
He was busy making horror and Aquaman movies.
I guess so. The Trench. So moving on from June 4th to June 11th, we had In the Heights. That's Lin-Manuel Miranda's, kind of Broadway musical coming of age of New York City, New York City neighborhood. It is being touted as a great return to cinema because it's so big and loud and colorful. It is also on HBO Max. It's one of those Warner Brother deals. So if you can't get to theaters, maybe check it out on the small screen. Last weekend on June 16th, The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard came out, the sequel to The Hitman's Bodyguard, starring Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson. This time, Selma Hayek, I believe, Samuel L. Jackson's wife, is brought into the mix, and wacky mayhem doth ensues.
Did you mention Godzilla vs. Kong on this list?
I didn't. That was March.
Oh, God, it was that long ago?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's almost July. That movie came out in March.
Yep. Yeah, March March 31st.
Oh, my God. I thought that was a summer movie. That's so crazy.
I think they probably would have wanted it to be a summer movie. I know in Japan it's going to be I think it's July, so it's a hardcore summer movie in Japan. But, yeah, here it was March 31st.
That's right. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And, of course, coming this Friday, the ninth entry into the Fast and the Furious proper franchise, Fast, or F9, I think is what they're actually calling it. But
fine.
Fast and the Furious 9, which will introduce John Cena as...
Dominic Toretto.
I almost said John Toretto. As like Jacob Toretto or someone like that, Dom's brother. And also marks the return of fan favorite Han Solo from Tokyo Drift and Fast 9 fame.
Yeah, I never knocked on nobody.
Yeah.
Race war.
Yeah. I will for sure be seeing this movie this weekend. It is a film that will actually even get my wife to go to the movie theater. she's only got a handful of movies she'll actually get out and go watch with me, and this is one of them. So I will have a date night this weekend.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Yeah. Will either of you be watching this film?
Yeah. I'm excited for it. I hated the last one, though. I think 8 was just the worst. Like, the worst. It's like John Raffio. It sucked, man. It was bad. And that's coming from someone that loves the Fast and Furious movies. I enjoy the shit out of them. But 9, or 8, rather, was god-awful.
No, I agree with you. 8 was no bueno. What about you, Randy? Are you going to see F9?
I did not see 8 yet, so there's a solid chance I'm not going to see 9. But I'm also not a big fan of those movies either. So, you know, I'll kind of catch them if they're just happening to be playing, or like the Hobbs and Shaw movie. I totally watched that and enjoyed the shit out of it, because I didn't necessarily need to know what was going on in the Fast franchise to follow along. But, I don't know. I'll see it when I get around to it.
All right. Well, cool. Well, starting off July, on July 2nd, we will get The Forever Purge, which will take place after 2016 Purge election year, in which the Purge was officially abolished. But apparently something happened, because now we have a Forever Purge. Justin, as the resident Purge expert in both seeing the films and in dedicating one day a year to murdering people, are you happy with the Purge? Coming back forever?
I mean, it's interesting because, I'm fine with it. That's whatever. It is what it is. During Halloween, somebody was driving through our neighborhood with the Purge siren. It was nuts. And it was a little freaky deaky Dutch, to be honest with you. But I mentioned fucking The Conjuring being like one of those movies for the 2010s. And I totally forgot about The Purge. They had The Purge in 2013. Then there was Anarchy in 2014, election year in 2016, the first Purge in 2018, and the Forever Purge in 2021. So, I mean, that's 5 movies. That's pretty good.
It's a lot. And there's a Rick and Morty episode about the Purge.
Yeah.
It's a Purge planet, Morty. It's a Purge planet.
But, you know, I've only seen the first 3. I never saw... it's just sort of a Rambo First Blood kind of title, with the first Purge, which came out in 2018, 5 years after the first movie. But I haven't seen that or the Forever Purge, which is obviously in July.
Nice. What about you, Randy? Are you a Purge guy?
Yeah, actually, I kind of dig it. I'm kind of kicking myself for not thinking of that. I'm like, that's such a great idea. I would love the opportunity just to, like, without consequence, just go on a murder spree one day a year, get out all your aggression. Isn't that kind of like the fantasy we all live or want to live?
Not me.
I don't want to hurt anybody.
Just me. Just the thought of people dying makes me sad. Like that there are people out there that could kill people. Like I'm like, man, how bad must your life have been? Or you're like, oh, I could just murder somebody.
The idea of animals dying and getting hurt, that kind of thing, I can't stomach. But people, motherfuck people, dude. They just animals are innocent and sweet. People have the propensity just to be terrible pricks. And if anybody, I mean, I don't have a manifesto, but if anybody were going to, I'm just saying,
that's people exactly deserve what it. Someone who have a manifesto would say.
Yeah, it's probably got a red cover. It's really big. It's heavy. It doesn't even fit on a bookshelf because it's too awkward.
It probably starts with some self-righteous Marxist quote.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah, yes. Nah, people are bad. Some people deserve to die.
People are great. What are you talking about?
But animals are where it's at. Justin knows what I'm talking about.
Love animals.
People are animals, though.
So they're the worst kind of animals.
They're the dumb kind.
Yeah.
You guys are bad. People are great.
Well, I mean, no, people are terrible.
I think the overwhelming majority of people are great. Just a small minority of people.
I don't know. When you have several billion people, that minority is still a big number.
It is. Maybe we'll just purge those people. If you disagree with Justin, you're going to get purged.
No, that's not true.
It's a Justin Purge. All right. 1 week later on July 9th, finally, we will have an MCU movie back in the theater. We haven't had anything since 2019's Spider-Man Far From Home. It will be Black Widow coming out on July 9th. Scarlett Johansson's swan song. And what I found interesting about this film is I thought it was like a prequel, like really early prequel. This takes place in between Civil War and Infinity War.
Oh, cool.
I didn't I thought this took place in like the 80s or 90s. So shows what I know. Not a goddamn thing. Randy, as someone who loves both Scarlett Johansson and her Oscar-winning role in Winter Soldier, are you pumped for the MCU to return to the cinema? Or, much like Loki, are you like, this will be dumb?
No, I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm very much looking forward to seeing Black Widow on the big screen. That is, for me, is going to be my triumphant return to seeing tentpole movies in an actual theater instead of on my smaller screen at home. So I hope it lives up to that, that grand title, the one that brings me out of hibernation,
back into the world.
Do you think that you're going to be so excited that even if the movie's terrible, you're going to love it just because you're back in the movie theater? Or do you think that you're going to be extra harsh?
I'm going to be completely intoxicated by that movie theater popcorn, man. I haven't had movie theater popcorn butter in like 2 years. Maybe not quite 2 years, but in a long fucking time. And you know they lace that shit with the good stuff. So
it's probably the same butter that's been churning since the shutdown.
That means it's even better because it's like concentrated.
It's aged.
It's like those hot dogs that have been spinning on that little turnstile thing for the entire day, but now we got a whole year worth of hot dog just cooking slowly.
That hot dog may look old to you, but you know what? That's not age. That's experience. Hot dog tastes experienced.
Yeah, during the pandemic, when they couldn't have like the self-serve popcorn or self-serve like butter things, you have to butter your own popcorn. They would give you little like cups of butt.
I was gonna say that's a great place for David to cut out cups of butt. Now I don't know. That might kind of talk me out of the whole theater going experience right now.
Oh, what a silly!
Is that an optional thing or is it a mandatory thing? Because usually I go to a movie theater to pay extra not to get cups of butt.
Ooh, you can't get extra. That was strange.
Yeah. You got cut off in the greatest point, David.
I love it. I love my cups of butt. Following July 16th is Space Jam, A New Legacy, where LeBron James shows definitively answers the question, who is better, Michael Jordan or LeBron James? And judging from the rough cut of the film I saw, it's still Michael Jordan. So
stats don't lie, Dave.
I mean, Michael Jordan has to six NBA championships and LeBron James does not.
That's true.
I mean, if the point of playing a sport is to win and he has won the most, because that means he's better. Is this even on either of your radars? I know it's definitely more kids fare, but the first Space Jam was kind of prime time for us. Are either of you eager to see Space Jam?
I don't think so.
So yeah, for me, I don't have any kind of nostalgia tied to it because I never saw the original. I have still never seen the original. Yeah. So, it's one of those things where maybe I'll catch it on streaming eventually. But, yeah, it really doesn't hold any sway over me.
It is a Warner Bros. Film, so it will be on HBO Max, for a month as well. So if you want to catch a stream, you could. Don Cheadle's in it. Fun fact, the most mad my mother
has
the most mad my mother's ever been at me in my entire life was because I went to see Space Jam instead of cleaning up my room because my dad was coming back from like his brother's funeral or something like that. And I remember my mom being so mad at me, and I wanted to never make her that mad again, and I haven't.
Huh. I hope it was worth it, man. I hope it was worth it.
It certainly was. What's not going to be worth it, I bet, is the following week on Friday, July 23rd, M. Night Shyamalan returns with Old. And I feel like the whole movie is in the trailer. I don't know if you guys have seen any of the trailers or know what this movie is. But basically, you know, people go on an island. Their kids wander off into this portion of the island and come back. And they go from being like 6 to like 19. And then people continue to age on this island. But the trailer kind of shows all that. So I don't know what's happening.
That just means what you don't know is the twist that's coming.
I mean, I'm sure.
What's it called again?
It's called Old. O-L-D. Old.
Yeah, okay. I think I saw a trailer for it, but I don't remember. Or I saw the poster for it. Okay, I'm looking at the poster right now, and it's got like this leg that's like a bone, which is kind of weird. Yeah, I didn't watch the trailer. I saw the poster.
Yeah. But it is going to be a big day on Friday, July 23rd, because not only does Old come out, but so does Hotel Transylvania, Transformania, and Snake Eyes, the G.I. Joe Origins film. I have lots to unpack there. So Snake Eyes, you know, we were all products of the G.I. Joe era. The trailer really didn't do anything for me. I mean, I'll probably see it just because I do love G.I. Joe, but I'm not going into it with like super high hopes. Justin, what say you? Are you on board for Snake Eyes?
Yeah, I'll go check it out for sure. I mean, I enjoy the first G.I. Joe movie, and I tolerate the second one, and I'm ready for more. So, I mean, in the vein of it being a summer popcorn flick, I will be like Randy and be intoxicated and drunk off my popcorn, and I'll probably enjoy it. Nice. I mean, if you were to talk to me right after it's over, I'd probably be like, yeah, the movie's amazing. It should win all the Academy Awards. But then after the popcorn passes and I have time to reflect, I might not enjoy it as much.
Understood. Randy, what about you? You know, G.I. Joe is very steepled in 80s toys, and you love 80s toys. So
I do.
By the transitive property, do you love G.I. Joe? And are you excited for the G.I. Joe film?
You know, this is another one of those things. I feel like I'm speaking blasphemy here, but I've never seen any of the G.I. Joe movies, any of the live action ones. So again, this is one that I don't feel the immediate desire to see because I haven't seen the two that came out already. So that being said, unless I watch the other two first, I don't really care. Now, I know this is kind of a side story, and I was more of a Snake Eyes fan when it was him versus Storm Shadow. That was like the 80s. The big match that everybody wanted to see was Storm Shadow versus Snake Eyes all throughout what I remember of the G.I. Joe fads of the 80s. So, I mean, it does have a little bit of nostalgia for me, I guess, when you look at it like that. But because I haven't seen the other live action movies, I guess I can wait on it.
Sure. Totally interested. I don't think this one will have anything to do with the other ones, but I could be wrong. It definitely looks like they're going in a new direction, but I have been wrong once before.
Once.
Just one time. Yeah, just one time. But the following week, this one has to get you excited, Randy. It is The Rock. It's Emily Blunt. It is a Disney ride turned into a film. It is The Jungle Cruise. Looks like a ton of fun. It's going to be in the theaters, and it's going to be on Disney Plus Premier Access the same day. Are you pumped about this movie, Randy?
I actually am. Jungle Cruise is one of my favorite things about Disneyland ever since growing up, and having the opportunity to work near it and know people that were skippers on the boats and everything. It seems like a lot of fun, and it seems like kind of like a. I'm trying to think, what's that Humphrey Bogart movie, African Queen, which is what the ride is essentially based on. It's kind of like almost like a parody of that with The Rock. How can you go wrong? It just looks like so much fun. I love it. And it's a period piece. How can you go wrong?
It is definitely a period piece. What about you, Justin? You are a fellow Disney nut and a rock nut and an Emily Blunt nut and a movie nut. So
nuts. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Let's get nuts.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. One of my sort of weird bucket lists would be to do the tour of be the tour guide on the Jungle Cruise. I think that would be a lot of fun. There's always a stand-up comedian element to it, and I would love to take a crack at it one day. So definitely very excited about this movie.
Nice. Yeah, and it's funny, like the Jungle Cruise skippers are, they're kind of like a unique like club. Like they all still stay in touch and stuff. I know I used to work with someone who was a former skipper on there, and they would have like, you know, seem like at least twice a year like meetings to where they had like these big gatherings of all the former skippers and stuff like that. So
talk about all the crazy animals they saw.
Yeah, rhinos. They'll get the point. In the end.
Oh, shit.
yeah, I'm super pumped for this. And then on August 6th, you know, we've talked about this movie quite a few times. James Gunn hops over from the MCU to the DC Universe and is directing The Suicide Squad, the follow-up to Academy Award-winning Suicide Squad. So
that's right. That's right.
So, you know, I'm super pumped. They just released a new trailer. I want to say over the weekend, maybe, or maybe early this week. You know, it still looked like a lot of fun, and I cannot wait to check it out. Has anyone here's? I think that all three of us are pretty excited to see this film. Has anyone's excitement waned or increased since the last time we discussed Suicide Squad?
I am the same. I'm very excited to see it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think the. The world needs a home run from DC, and I wouldn't be surprised if James Gunn is the one to deliver it.
I concur. I feel about the same about it as well, but I've been excited about it from day one, so I don't think it gets much harder than this. I am ready.
All right. Well, hopefully...
I was just going to say, it's funny that it won the Academy Award for Best Makeup and Hairstyling, because... like Killer Croc, I think looks so ridiculous. Maybe I'm crazy, but I am not a fan of that look of Killer Croc, and maybe that falls under visual effects and not makeup.
Yeah, I guess it would be, because he's completely CGI. So yeah, I don't know either. well, hopefully Randy can stay hard, because the next week Ryan Reynolds is going to grace our film screens again as he partners with Sean Levy as director for Free Guy, where he figures out he's just a dude in a video game and he can do cooler stuff. Sean Levy is an interesting director for me, because I love Real Steel. It's like if it's on, I'll watch it. And same thing with like The Internship. I love those movies, and I have to watch them if they're on. But then he also made like Ninth Museum and a bunch of other kind of like man movies. So I'm hoping that his partnership with Ryan Reynolds will bear fruit. So Justin, Free Guy, is it a free pass for you?
Yeah, I'll watch it. I don't know if I need to see it in a theater though. That's probably a question we should be asking ourselves. Is this a theater movie, or is this a home? Is this a rental? As it were.
You would say this is a rental?
Probably for me, yeah.
Alright. What about you, Justin? Would you classify this as a rental?
I just said it's a rental.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would also
I would also classify it as a rental. Don't worry, it's been a long week.
I do like the Battle of Smithsonian. You mentioned Night at the Museum, and when Hank Azaria is just like, oh my god, if you speak again, I shall murder you right now. That is one of the funniest scenes ever.
Hank Azaria is a champ. He also produced a movie called The Rocker, which it stars Rainn Wilson from The Office, and he plays like this guy who was basically on like a Metallica level band. But like right when they went big, like the record producer wanted to put his kid in the band as the drummer, and so they kicked him out. And then it's like 25 years later, and he helps like his like young nephew start a band, and they become super duper big. And the band, the Metallica band, is called Vesuvius, and it's like Will Arnett, it's Will Forte. It's like everyone that you would just laugh at. And I'm excited for it every time I see it. But he didn't direct it, so it doesn't count.
Oh, okay.
All right. We're getting there. We're almost there. Two more. August 20th, The Night House. That's that movie with it's with Rebecca Ferguson or Rebecca Hall, where she's on like a lake house and her husband like killed himself. And I don't think I like this. It looks
What's it called?
It's called The Night House.
The Night House.
Yeah.
With Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves.
No, that's The Lake House. This is The Night House. This is the sequel to that, where there's like a light side and a dark side, and it looks terrifying, and it's got a lot of like lake shots at night where there's dark water, and I don't like dark water. I like, you know, crystal clear daytime water. So I will not be seeing this because I am a scaredy cat, so it is neither a rental nor seen the theaters. I like being scared.
I like Rebecca Hall. She's in The Town.
She is. I am not seeing it because of her. I am not seeing it because it looks terrifying.
Right. And Vondi Curtis Hall's in it, too. I like that guy.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. This movie has everything, Dave. The Night House. It's even got Batman.
It does, yes. But
he's the Night House.
Oh, wow. And finally on the list, August 27th, rounding out the summer, is Justin's most anticipated movie of 2021, and that is Candyman. Justin, tell us why Nia DaCosta's Candyman is your movie of 2021.
I don't know if it's my movie of 2021, but I'm definitely excited for it. I am surprised that they are going to go with the end of August on this one, as opposed to just waiting two more months for Halloween, but... whatever. Strange things have happened. Obviously, this was supposed to come out. Wasn't it supposed to come out last year? I feel like it was supposed to come out last year.
Yes. Most of these movies, were supposed to come out last year.
But I did watch the second trailer that came out earlier this week, and it looks pretty good. I'm excited for it. There's this part where the main guy's like, I think I made a mistake. Like the whole beginning of the trailer is everyone telling him not to pursue this story of Candyman. And it's a direct sequel to the original Candyman, so that's exciting. And they're like, "Oh, don't go chasing this this waterfall, man! It's bad news bears." And he's like, "No, I gotta do it." And then after shit starts to happen, he's like, "I think I made a mistake." It's like, oh, geez, you're one of those. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's gonna be good. It goes into the origin a little bit of Candyman in the trailer. You know, he was wrongfully accused and a victim of a hate crime, as it were. And he gets his revenge. And it's going to be a bloody mess.
Ooh.
What about you? Are you guys into superstition? Like,
No.
I feel like when I was a kid, it was a Bloody Mary thing in front of the mirror. And then when I saw this movie, I was like, oh, hey, it's like a... that word I just said, sort of like Beetlejuice kind of thing. But I would rather just not do it in case it's true. I'm not gonna go into a bathroom and stare at my mirror and say a name x amount of times. It's just I'm not gonna chance it. I don't want to believe that it's true, but I ain't gonna touch it with a 39.5-foot pole.
So that was very much a thing of the 80s, and I had friends that would do it all the time. I would do it, and here's what we did. I mean, obviously there is. I mean, I'm gonna say something controversial here, guys. There aren't fucking ghosts or demons or anything like that. I mean, I've told some ghost stories on here from Disney, and I still can't explain that shit. So maybe there is something, but you're not going to conjure some fucking thing by saying a name three times. We used to go into the bathroom, be in there. Sometimes people would say it, sometimes they wouldn't. But you know what we would do? We'd take our own fucking fingernails. We'd scratch the shit out of our arms and say we did the Bloody Mary thing and come out and our arms were all scratched to shit. We would do you that lied? To ourselves.
You're a liar?
Every fucking child lies.
No, not me.
I wouldn't do the name in front of a mirror thing. I'm choosing to recuse myself from ever doing that. This is not in the cards, man. And I mean, like you know, how you had those things that you just can't explain that happen at Disney. You know, there's been a couple of things that happened in my apartment in Seattle that I have no explanation for. And it didn't scare me, but I was like, huh, that's weird. Where like all my clothes were out of my bottom drawer and my those plastic tubs. That's like a three-drawer tub type thing. And the bottom one's always a pain in the ass to open. And you put the clothes in that you're never going to wear, but you decide for some reason just never took the time to donate them. So they're all the ugly sweaters that you have and shit like that. All of those were on my floor one day, and I didn't do it. All my cabinets were open one day. I didn't do it.
Did you have a cat at the time? Because my cat does that. She will open up my dresser and throw out like socks and underwear, throw out like shirts and pajamas and shit.
I did. I had a cat, but and it probably was the cat. But the problem is, even I can't open up this fucking drawer. It's like a pain in the ass. I have to like lift up the other tubs to open it. So maybe my cat just had some extra dose of roids in its food or something and was able to do it. And then as far as the cabinets go, he didn't really jump up above the cabinets to be able to open them. And some of the high ones, he would need to have been up in between the cabinets and the ceiling to do that. And I've never seen him ever up there.
Whatever, you're living with things is just messing with you.
Yeah.
They're having a go. You having a go at me, bro?
Yeah. Well, remember, there's all these Conjuring movies, Dave. There's been 7 movies in 8 years, and they're based off a true story. And so we know that it's happened.
I don't think that's true. I don't think so.
It's based on a true story.
I think Forrest Gump's based on a true story, too.
I don't think so. Didn't he say he landed on an island? He went up in space and landed on an island and got eaten or something?
Yeah, that's... No. He went up in space, and then he came down in an island of cannibals. They need him, though. He tasted funny.
It's weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the summer. I mean, obviously, the summer of 2021 is, you know, it's not meant to blow everyone out of the water. I think a lot of people were still just trying to figure out where their movie would fit. I think we're going to get the holiday season is going to be, you know, much larger than it normally would. You know, we have, you know, a lot of the pictures like from Universal, things like, you know, Top Gun, you know, that's coming out. You know, Paramount's going to drop the Mission Impossible film. We got, you know, a couple more Marvel movies. I think November to December is going to be huge this year. But I think the summer is just going to, I think the summer will be huge because people want to just go back to the theater and see it, even though I don't know if any of these are meteoric things. So let's play a fun game. Let's put the over under. Let's set an over-under for worldwide box office for Fast or F9. Comes out this week. You know, if COVID wasn't a thing, it would make over $1 billion opening weekend. Of course, there are certain parts of the world where COVID is still very much a factor. So let's say, let's put it at a good number. Let's say $666 million. Randy Van Dyke, does this movie worldwide make more or less than $666 million?
I'm gonna say less, just because people aren't going to the box office in those numbers yet.
Okay, where A Quiet Place did $50 million, and that's just A Quiet Place movie. That's not Fast Phrase.
It wasn't a noisy place like with cars.
Yeah. All right, Justin. Randy says under $666 million. Do you concur with your colleague Randy?
Yeah, I'd say it's under. I was going to think like 400, 450 is where my head was at. Still a box office smash, but just diminished a bit because of COVID. And by a bit, I mean more than half of $1 billion.
That's a lot of billions.
Yeah.
What do you think, Randy? Does 400 sound more attuned with what you would think, or do you think it's even going to be lower than that?
No, I think that sounds about right. I would agree with that.
All right. Well, I'm going to take the over just so next week one of us, someone can be wrong and someone.
Is this supposed to make that much money in one weekend?
Yeah, this first weekend.
You think it's going to make $660 million in the first weekend?
Are we talking domestic or are we talking worldwide?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking Lifetime box office. Forgive me.
Well, yeah, I mean, Kazuna's definitely under. He's going to do that on one weekend. But yeah, Lifetime, and I would say that maybe like a month from now, we'll have to figure out where it's at.
Okay. Do you think it cracks $100 million domestically?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Do you think it cracks $150 million?
Domestically?
Domestically.
Maybe, but the problem is Black Widow is next, right? So I think that that's going to take away from either repeat viewings, or if someone's just not sure, maybe they're just going to wait that extra 2 weeks to go see Black Widow instead.
Okay. Do you think, out of all the movies we listed, I mean, I guess it really comes down to Black Widow, Fast and Furious, which
and Suicide Squad, probably.
Suicide Squad could maybe be a sleeper because it's end of summer. It's going to be more people vaccinated. We'll add that in the mix. What movie do you think, off of the entire list we talked about, Randy, makes the most money worldwide? Fast and Furious, Black Widow, Suicide, maybe Jungle Cruise. Well, Jungle Cruise is going to be day and day with Disney Plus, so it's going to hurt it. Same thing with Black Widow.
Yeah. Then in that case, it's going to be Fast 9. It's got to be, because that kind of thing sells overseas. It would be between that and Black Widow, just because the Marvel movies do tend to do well as well. But you're right, since it's day and day with Disney Plus, that is going to hurt the box office. So I'd stake my money on Fast 9.
All right. What about you? What do you be, Justin? What do you think is going to be the highest grossing film from this summer?
Yeah, I think Fast 9 is probably the best bet. I'm rooting for Suicide Squad, but I would say that Fast 9 has a more global appeal.
Okay. I guess it doesn't really make sense because you guys are households of two, but do you think that this will be a more successful rollout for the Disney Premier Access, pay $30 and you're able to watch it at home? Do you think you could see families taking advantage of that because it's cheaper than going to most movie theaters and buying popcorn and stuff like that?
I'm surprised it's not cheaper, to be honest with you, since there's an option to go to the theater. I would think that more people would sign up for it if it were just a little bit cheaper.
And I'm going to say more people are going to want to actually get out of the house and go to the theater. They've been, for the last year, saving up all this money by not going out of the house. So they're going to be like, you know what? As soon as we can like ditch the fucking masks and go tear up a movie theater, they're going to do it. Kids in tow, everybody, get your grandparents, your neighbors, your fucking dog, anybody that you can take into that theater, you're going to take into that theater just because you can. You're going to feel like you can.
What's the capacity situation at theaters? Are they full capacity?
It's different in some places. Some of them are full open, and some of them have stuck to the social distancing method, just in a reduced capacity. So, like the AMCs around me, they still block off like one chair on each side of you. But before it was, they're blocking off like three chairs beside you, like the row in front of you, the row behind you. So it's winding down in some places. I don't know if it was Regal or Cinemark. One of them had just no restrictions anymore. It was wide open.
Wow.
Like, I was at the Angel game the other day, and it was there were no restrictions. It was wall to wall people.
Interesting.
Yeah, COVID's over, man.
Here. so the newspapers say. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. So I went out and I decided, with Fast and the Furious 9 coming out, I know we're all, well, two of us are big fans of the franchise. I thought I would rank all 9 existing Fast and the Furious movies. That's Fast and the Furious, Through Fate of the Furious, and Hobbs and Shaw. So would you like to hear my list?
Absolutely.
You can feel free to tell me I'm right or wrong. So starting at the bottom at number 9, I have is my least favorite Fast and the Furious movie, Too Fast, Too Furious, John Singleton's sequel to the original. And there's really just nothing good to say. It did bring us Ludacris and Tyrese, who became great staples of the franchise. But there's no Dom until the credits. So I just don't like it.
I would put
okay.
Number 8 as my least favorite.
Really? All right. Well, luckily for you, that is my eighth favorite Fast and Furious movie is The Fate and the Furious. It's not good. I put it slightly higher than Too Fast, Too Furious because there are a couple scenes in Fate of the Furious that I really like. Like, I really like the Jason Statham saving the baby on the plane scene. It's just utterly ridiculous as it is. Those two could easily be interchangeable, you know, depending on my mood. So,
mm-hmm. And it's got Kurt Russell, right?
And it has Kurt Russell. Number 7 on my list is the original Fast and the Furious. It was the one that brought it all together, but you know, it was very low stakes.
Race Wars.
Yeah.
It's just fun to say. It's like, I don't think they put a lot of thought into that one.
Yeah, I don't think they did.
SWAT came to my house.
My house.
And it also has goddamn Street Racer. It's got that line in it, too. So long, pizza boy. Oh, that's so stupid.
Stealing DVD players.
Oh, yeah. Unlike the Best Buy trucks.
Yeah, number 6 on my list is The Fast and the Furious, the number 4 in the franchise that kind of soft rebooted things, kind of turned the corner from the simple street racing of it all to kind of a more a larger world, killed off Letty Michelle Rodriguez's character for a time, and just kind of set the tone for the modern. I think a lot of people would make this like an entry point for them coming in the franchise. I think a lot of people tell them to skip the first 3 movies, but in a second I'm going to tell you why that's a mistake. Number 5 halfway through my list is Hobbs and Shaw. Like Justin, I am a fan of Jason Statham and The Rock, and seeing them just do amazingly fun stuff together and just try to compete with each other of who is the more macho badass man is incredible, and I'm here for it. And it's also Randy Van Dyke's favorite Fast and the Furious movie. Fun fact.
Fun fact indeed.
The more you know. All right. Getting into the top 4. My 4th favorite Fast and the Furious movie is Fast and the Furious 6. This is the one that I think this is where Fast and the Furious really jumps off the rails and becomes just the cartoon that we know it as nowadays. 6 is it's a lot. It brings back Michelle Rodriguez's character, Letty, introduces us to Owen Shaw, who is Jason Statham's brother. Has that great freeway chase with the tank and the car and flying through the air and stuff like that. And so it was kind of like the precursor to what we would see later on. Number 3 on my list is probably going to surprise everyone, and everyone is probably screaming at their device wondering, when is he going to mention Tokyo Drift? Fun fact, yeah. I'm going to mention it right now as my 3rd favorite Fast and the Furious movie. I watched it not too long ago, and aside from the fact that it definitely was never intended to be a Fast and the Furious movie, and they just tagged that on at the end, it's actually a pretty solid film. You know, Lucas Black as the main character introduces us to Han Solo, which it becomes a fan favorite later on. And the racing is a lot of fun. You know, it's the first 2 were very predicated on like, look at me, I'm the badass dude, I can race cars fast. And to where this one, I feel lets the cars shine a little bit more. And it feels like there's just a little more to it. And I'm a sucker for brooding Lucas Black, you know, just basically playing his character from Friday Night Lights, the movie.
And it's got Brian T. He's DK.
Drift King. Yeah. The Drift King.
Yeah.
All right. And then I think everyone in the world probably has these last 2 as their top 2. But I am putting at number 2 on my list, Furious 7, which most people will remember as the departure of Brian Walker from the franchise due to his tragic death. This is the one where they have that ridiculous stunt in Dubai where they jump from one building to another building. and it has the God's Eye. And this, of course, ends in the chase in L.A. and Brian riding off into the sunset to that Wiz Khalifa song that everyone cries when they hear. It's been a long time. Don't want to cry. And, of course, that makes my number 1 favorite Fast and the Furious movie, Fast 5. It's the first one with The Rock in it. I think that, and that's the 3rd one that Justin Lin directed. I think The Rock was a great injection of kind of like levity and humor. And, you know, him being kind of the law enforcement officer allowed Paul Walker's Brian to to really embrace being that like on the run kind of outlaw guy. And I think it is definitely my favorite of the Fast and Furious movies. I look forward to seeing where 9 will fit on my list. But Justin, as a fellow fan of the franchise, what would you say your top 2 or 3 would be?
Yeah, so Fast Five is my favorite of them all. I thought that was your second favorite. I thought 7 was your favorite because of the ending. But I would say Fast Five is the most fun out of all of them. I think that they're all having a really good time, and I just enjoy the shit out of that movie and all the crazy shit that happens when they're just bringing that vault along and they're just using it as a weapon. It's so ridiculous. I was waiting for The Rock to just stand in the middle of the road and just punch a car and stop it in its tracks. I thought that would have been the next best thing, but I think Fast Five is where, for me, is when it just cranked it up a notch, you know, like literally hit the NOS switch and just went into hyperdrive. And I absolutely adore Fast Five. I think it's so much fun.
Nice. I think it was Fast and the Furious 6. Is that the one where The Rock like flexes out of his cast, or is that one of them?
I think that's 7 because he's 7. All beat up from fighting Jason Statham at the beginning.
That's right. Seven. That's right. Yeah. It's my favorite part where he just like hulks out of the
cast. Yeah. So ridiculous.
Yeah,
because like, I think you're bringing in the big guns. He's like, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, and he's just like, Cookie Puss.
Yeah.
Listen up, Cookie Puss. Yeah, and him and the one girl from Brazil jump out of like the 5th-story building or something. And, like,
yeah. Man.
Oh, man. Fun franchise. What else would you put in your – is everyone else kind of interchangeable, or do you have, you know, a 2 or 3 that you would put up there?
Yeah, so I would say – I would say that 5 and 7, and I really liked 4 too. I thought 4 was fun, like driving through all the tunnels, you know, as they're smuggling. I thought that was kind of a neat trick. But I enjoyed the first one too, a lot. As cheesy as it is, it's just fun to quote. I probably quote the first one more than any of the other movies. But yeah, I would say 5, 7, and the first one are probably my favorites. But I really enjoy 4. I remember hearing this interview with Paul Walker on K-Rock when Fast and Furious came out, the 4th one. And they're like, so are you going to make any more of these? And he's like, heck yeah, man, we're having fun making them, and we're just going to keep making them until people stop going to see them. And I was like, fuck yeah, man. I remember I was laying in bed. I woke up to a clock radio that would play K-Rock in the morning. And I woke up to that interview, and I was like, I'm on board. I'm here for it, man. So I think it was his excitement that got me excited to revisit, you know, the franchise.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's great. I think I'm trying to find out. Which is the most money earned of the Fast and the Furious movies? I'm sure there was a much easier way to say that.
Sure, like the highest grossing.
That's the word I'm looking for.
I would say, well, I wouldn't be surprised if it was fucking 8 because I hate that movie so much, and ticket prices were the most that they would ever be, and it was already a $1 billion franchise. I would hope it was 7, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was 8.
Hang on, stupid list. It gave me the domestic box office.
But it was Universal's first $1 billion franchise.
Yes, it was. It's the closest they really have to like superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
These are the Universal superheroes.
But I mean, Jurassic Park too. I mean, now we have 3 Jurassic Parks and now 3 worlds. You know, eventually Dominion's going to come out. That's a lot of. That's a good rival to have would be dinosaurs and cars.
Yeah.
Put them together. Shared universe.
You'll be happy to know that Furious 7 made almost $300 million more than Fate of the Furious. It's okay. 1.5 for 7, 1.2 for 8.
And is that the number, 1 and 2?
That's 1 and 2. And then it goes Fast and the Furious 6. and then 5, and then there's just a huge 5 is where it really became like supercharged, and it became this like event. You know, I think a lot of people called like The Rock like franchise Viagra at the time, because you know he really helped. You know, because 4 and 5, there's it's almost double.
Yeah. Well, I think 4 definitely reinvigorated the franchise and got people excited about it again. And then add The Rock to that, and it's like putting fucking Mentos in a 2-liter bottle or something like that, where it's just going to explode. And I think we're all ready for it. I think it was when I first came back to visit after I moved to Washington, we had all just seen Fast Five. I'm like, oh my God, it's the greatest fucking movie ever. How come Michelle Rodriguez is in like all of our favorite movies?
Right. Kind of funny. We don't like her in any of them.
She shows up at the very, very, very end. But yeah man, 5 is just fucking awesome, dude. I kind of want to watch it right now, but I'll wake the whole goddamn neighborhood because I'll crank that shit up to 11.
Yeah, the Fast and the Furious franchise has earned currently $6.186 billion in the box office.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot of hooch. And cool. I am sure that number will only go up with the 10th entry in the franchise.
Absolutely. And then the 11th and the 12th and the 13th.
Yeah, I'm curious how... because I mean, the 10th one's not going to have The Rock in it, you know, because him and Diesel can't get along. So I'm curious... I'm curious how long these people want to stick around doing it. You know, they lost Paul Walker. It looks like Jordana Brewster is back in this one, so that's
yeah. Fun. So they'll probably address his passing then.
Yeah, I wonder what they're gonna say. I wonder if they're gonna, if something happened to him, or if he's just like, oh, he's not feeling well. He got COVID, so
he's watching the baby.
He's watching the baby. This is my turn.
Yeah. Oh. Time will tell. We'll find out tomorrow, I guess.
Oh, we sure will. I can't wait.
Well, cool.
And that's my breakdown on Fast and the Furious. I can't wait to update you all next week with where the ninth Fast and the Furious movie ranks for me.
All right. Randy, do you have anything to add?
Not a goddamn thing.
All right, you're done. The ship has left the station. Cool, man.
He's in Star Trek mode.
I don't have anything to say about those movies just because I haven't watched them enough.
That's fine. You're missing out. They got these cars, see, and they go really fast.
And sometimes they're furious.
And sometimes they try to steal, like, TV VHS combo units.
Yeah. Those are worth a lot of money now.
Now they got, like, this super hacking device that makes things very convenient.
God's Eye.
Yeah. God, that's that what it's called? God's Eye. Stupid eye. Oh, jeez. Anyway. Oh, what can you do? Yeah, Miss Andy, right? She's the God's Eye creator. Is she the one that made it?
She sure is.
Oh my gosh, okay. She's so beautiful. I love her. Anyway, thank you for listening to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Hopefully, one of the 30 movies that David mentioned is going to make you excited and bring you back into the movie theater. If you are not comfortable, please, by all means, stay home, stay safe. And you keep rocking and rolling, baby. In the meantime, be sure to follow us at Geek Legacy and share your thoughts on the fucking escape pod, man. We got people already sharing that they're not liking episodes that we like. And it's fun. And I'm here for it. And who was it? It was Nostalgia JT on Twitter. So I can't believe you guys are already on episode 15. And he's a fat nay, so... share your thoughts. Let us know that you hate something, and
hey, maybe he agreed with me.
That's true.
He agreed with me, and no, that never happens.
Never happens. No one ever agrees with me. He's the lone wolf, as it were. And remember to check out the other podcasts we have. The Pixelated is back, as well as Don't Be Crazy. Lots of fun. I already forgot the movie that we did. Oh, we did In-N-Out. It's Pride Month. It's June. We did In-N-Out with Kevin Kline and the always adorable Joan Cusack. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Tom Selleck doesn't even have a mustache in this movie. That's how crazy it is.
He's so weird.
And I guess that's it. You take care, and we'll talk to you later. Thank you so much.